Thank you so much. As we celebrated Independence Day yesterday, we know for sure that we celebrate what you've done for us, the independence of being free from sin. Lord, you've given us such a freedom, and your word tells us you've been called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom for an opportunity to the flesh, but rather serve one another, Galatians. And so we are called to be free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. So, Lord, not Lord, but people, I just want to talk to the people who are listening by video, that, as you know, the video comes on Sunday night, and it's on for the week usually. So I encourage you to tune in and let the Lord bless you. And, you know, we're one body. We may be in different time frames in our lives, but it's the Lord who we're listening to, whether you're listening via video or you're right here in person. I'm just happy to say that I'm praying for everybody, praying for myself, and praying for each person in this body of Christ. And next week, we mentioned earlier that we're having a baptism. And I encourage you, if you want to come to participate and be baptized, or if you want to just be with the family of God and be at a nice home where there's going to be good food and everything like that, I encourage you to send in an email to the church, and we'll get in touch with you, give you the address and what have you. So upon that, let me just back up a little bit of what we've been talking about. We're in the book of Matthew, and we have the children leaving, so the young people can leave for Sunday school. And so we're in the book of Matthew, right? And it's chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11. We're going to finish the whole chapter, but not today. So last week, I introduced it with, what is the purpose of prayer, because that's what the verses are going to be spoken about today. He gives us an understanding of a particulars of how we should pray. And so the title today is The Particulars of Prayer. Last week it was the purpose. Purpose was that we're being conformed into his image and we're sons and daughters of God. And then it was the process. How does that happen? Through sanctification, through us surrendering, through us dying to self, and circumstances have a way of bringing us to that place of do we go forward with the Lord and give it to him, or do we hold on to it and we usually sink, one or the other? So today we want to talk about the particulars of prayer. What does it mean to be praying, and how do you pray? And we know why we should pray. We're praying to become more like Jesus. We're praying because it's him in us praying, conforming us to his image in power and in intercession. That's who we are as a church. It's not just praying being separate, but we're learning to pray in the spirit of Jesus. As we walk closer with him, we become more like him. His presence becomes more aware in our life. We become quickened in our prayer. There's a difference between just praying rote and praying in the spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But build yourselves up, beloved, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So there's a difference between praying in the Holy Spirit and just praying. So I want to touch a little bit about how does that work? What does that mean? So he says, in continuing in verse 21 of Jude, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for his mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And then he says, and have mercy. Here's the evangelism, because we're not just holding on till we get to heaven, but there's an offense and there's a defense in our relationship with the Lord. So have mercy on some who are doubting, and save others, snatching them out of the fire. What fire? Hell. And have some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. So in other words, when you're evangelizing, make sure you don't get caught up in their sin, but hate even, you know, the sin of that person, but not the person. And to be spiritually minded in those matters, because some persons can go in, you know, like the Lone Ranger, looking to save someone, and all of a sudden they get knocked off their horse because of the influence that they put out on that person. So, particulars of prayer. Let's read verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So when you look at the mood of those words, ask, seek, and knock, it's called the present imperative, which means continuously ask, continuously seek, continuously knock. It's just not one time. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who his son asks for a loaf? Will you give him a stone? No. Of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake, will you? No. Now, if you then, being evil, meaning you're imperfect, even as a parent, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to you or to those? So he's giving an argument from the lesser to the greater. He's saying, if you, being lesser, good, give good gifts to your children, how much more will my perfect heavenly Father, who is all good, give to you? So the argument is based from the lesser to the greater, but also on relationship. You cannot and you will not pray devotionally unless you have a relationship to the person, Jesus Christ. It's based on being a son of God. It's based on being a daughter of God. When you have that love relationship, you'll pray. You'll endure. It's not about just praying to get through it. But when you understand how much God values you and how much good he is, that will keep you knocking, seeking, and asking. You know, Jesus gave another illustration concerning justice for his elect. And it was about a widow who kept bothering this judge, give me justice, give me justice. And he says in Luke 18, verses 1 and then 5 through 8, he says, now he was telling them a parable to show that all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Verse 5. And so this judge said this, yet because this widow bothers me every day, she's coming to him, I'll give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear, now here's the lesser to the greater, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? So here is the same argument for justice. There's a time when God will answer. So he's encouraging us, pray always and don't give up. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, because you have a relationship with God who is good and holy. He's got a place for this time of answering those prayers. Now, we read in Second Corinthians, in chapter 11 and 12, I want to base this on this relationship again. In order for us to be devoted to prayer, you must be devoted to the person. Two P's. In order to be devoted to prayer, you first must be devoted to the person because of his character. If I'm not devoted to the person of Jesus Christ because of his character, I'm not going to be devoted to prayer. But when I know and see his character of how blessed, how good, how willing, how deserving he wants to answer our prayers. I have to understand that this is a growth in a Christian's life, not just to mark it off and saying, okay, I discipline myself, I'm now praying, and this is what God commands, and I'm praying. That's not the point. Sometimes it starts off that way. It starts off very mechanical. But then once you start praying in the Spirit, once you start understanding and sensing his power in you to intercede and seeing things happen, it just encourages you to pray more and see your prayers are effective because you're praying the way Jesus would pray. And Jesus's prayers always get answered. The two shall become one. You're the body. He's the head. Us are becoming one in intercession, one in power, one in the spirit. And prayer is the means that God brings us through it. So it's based on a relationship. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealous, Paul was saying. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present to you a pure virgin. But I'm afraid as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray by the simplicity and purity and devotion to Christ. New American Standard. Simplicity, purity, and devotion to Christ. They were starting to follow these so-called apostles that were offering them the moon and have an eloquence of speech and what have. And they were losing their simplicity and devotion to Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that that could happen in all Christians' life. Even in prayer, you can lose the simplicity and the purity of you speaking to the Lord and the Lord speaking to you. So to be devoted to the person is going to bring us to being devoted to prayer. Now, devoted to prayer, where in the scripture do we see that happening? Well, in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 14, very clearly it says, now these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. They were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Jesus again says men should pray always, not give up. Prayer is the blessing of God. As you heard it said, prayer changes things, but it changes you first. Now, we also need to be devoted in attitude when you pray. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's important to keep alert in it. Because, you know, we all, if we're gathered as a corporate church praying rather than single one-on-one, some want to pray very long, which is okay, no problem. But the person who's listening to the prayer got to stay alert in it because they could drift off. What's for dinner now? You know, so our responsibility is to stay alert in the prayer and to be amening. Amen. And that's one of the ways you can stay alert in it. Otherwise, you can doze off. So it says, stay alert in the prayer. And here's the attitude, with thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us, Paul said, as well as that God will open to us the door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, which I have also been imprisoned. So the attitude and devotion is thanksgiving. God wants us always to be thankful. And that's a good way to start the prayer. Lord, I'm coming here or I'm in my house. I'm devoted to your prayer. Let me give you thanks first, Lord, before I give you intercession or a list. Lord, I want to thank you for saving my soul. I want to thank you for this humble place I got to live. I want to thank you for my health. I want to thank you for my loved ones. And when you start thanking the Lord, you know, your faith starts getting stronger. Amen? Isn't that true? It's when if you come in right away with the bulldozer, you lose the spirit of thanksgiving. It's hard to be thankful and be an ingrate at the same time. And I'm not saying here we're ingrates, but when we're not thanking the Lord for what he has already given us, we get wrapped up many times in the need. Rather than seeing the glass half full, we see it half empty. Thanksgiving lets you see the glass half full. An attitude of thanksgiving. Turn with me. This is a great scripture verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. He says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Three things. Rejoice always. And pray without ceasing. So pray without ceasing. What do you mean, Pastor? Am I to lock myself in my room and pray 24/7? No. But wherever you are, pray. You may be in a restaurant. Pray for your food. You may be on your job. You pray for the person. You may be walking on the street and you see someone who's down and out asking for money. Say a prayer for them. Lord, save this man. This poor guy, this poor woman. I mean, you see it every day today. You walk by. I seen someone the other day laying, and this is early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, sleeping, you know, in front of a Subway store, you know, that went bankrupt. And I said, wow, this guy. And I see him there all the time, you know, and give him coffee, money, whatever it may be. But I pray for him. I talk to him. And no glory to me. Please get that out of your head. But I'm just saying, pray unceasingly is just to pray in the circumstance of that particular moment. But how about in everything give thanks? He's not saying here, thank God for everything. But in everything, you want to give him thanks. You know, some things come down the pike that are very hurtful, very painful. But you still want to say, Lord, I don't want to get crazy over this. I want to give you thanks. What can I give you thanks for? Can I give you thanks that I'm getting hit over the head? And here's my other head. You know, here's my other cheek. What? No. Lord, I want to thank you that you're good to me and that I'm going to get out of this. And that Romans 8:28, you cause all things to work together for good to them that love God, to those who call into his purpose. It doesn't say he causes everything, but he causes everything to work together. So when we are to give him thanks in everything, I want to put in Romans 8:28. You're going to work this out for good, Lord. I want to thank you that you're in this. Now, it's not easy. You know that, and I know that. When you're going through some pain, through some fire, and someone says, hey, you got to give thanks, brother or sister, you say, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, you want me to give thanks after this, after how I'm feeling? So it's very important to be praying for that person first, because there's a process that a person goes through of pain. And to, you know, right away celebrate and see, you know, the bright side too strong, that light could be too bright for them. You know, get that out of here. So it's important for us when you see someone struggling, rather than just tell them, hey, you know, the Bible says to rejoice and everything, give thanks, so give thanks. We need to be a little bit more sensitive to that and just pray for that person and know that this is the will of God, that they get through this and to give him thanks according to Romans 8:28. So now we want to, I would like to give a scripture verse that encapsulates these moods, Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. Now, remember, we're talking about the particulars of prayer. You know, there are conditions. There are ways that God wants us to pray. And he said in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, again, rejoice always. Why? Let your gentle spirit be known to all men that the Lord is near. That's how you rejoice. Man, Lord, I thank you that I'm not stuck in this world. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to be one of those who are going to get the mark. I thank you, Lord, that I won't be here for your wrath when it comes down on this world. I thank you, Lord, that you're with me now. So I want to say thank you, Lord, that you're coming soon. I mean, how many want the Lord to come soon? You know, some may say, well, wait, you know, tomorrow I'm getting a raise. Can you come next month? No. Listen, you'll get more in heaven than you could ever get on this earth. So, you know, you want the Lord to come and let him come today. But yes, I know, if he would have came years ago, maybe many of us wouldn't be saved. But he has delayed because he's patient that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And that's our job. That's why he's got us here. And he delays because he's so merciful. For us, we would be like John and James. When they went through Samaria and the Samaritans didn't receive Jesus, they said, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven and toast them? And Jesus said, hey, you don't know what spirit you are of. You know, I've come to seek and save the lost, you know. And so, you know, they were gung-ho. And I think we all have some of that in us. Lord, bang them, hit them, let them know who's boss. And that sometimes, you know, I mean, I do that. I pray that too, Lord, for your mercy. But I also pray, Lord, I know at one time I was a knucklehead. And at different times, I still am. And I say, Lord, be gentle, you know, but bring that person to that place. The Lord is near, and they need to hear the voice of God through you. So he goes on by saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Keep that in mind when you're praying. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And here's the results. And the peace of God that surpasses comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So how does the peace of God surpass comprehension? You don't have to understand it. You don't have to figure it out. You surrender it to the Lord in prayer. That's what he's saying. When you pray, it's not because you have an intellectual understanding of how he's going to answer that prayer. It's just that you release it in faith. And the peace of God comes on you. And it surpasses you figuring it out, your understanding. And then it says, and that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, if I try to figure out everything, if you try to figure out everything that you've been praying for, Lord, how are you going to do this? When are you going to do it? Lord, I've been praying all this while. Just have to give it up and say, Lord, I know that you love me. And I know that you are more on the throne and I'm not on the throne. And you're going to work this out. And you have a peace that comes on you once you surrender it to the Lord. I think the hard time comes when we keep taking it back. As it said, you put it on the altar, but then you go to the altar and you take it off the altar again. And that's when we start feeling the apprehension. It's a process. So don't be discouraged. It's a process. Now back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. Our text again reads, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And as I was thinking of that, so he's giving us here a picture of someone knocking on a door. And as I was thinking about that, I thought of Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in prison. And I'll read this to you. It says, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. And on that very night, when Herod was about to bring him forward to chop off his head, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. So there he is in the middle of two guards chained to them in this cell, and the cell was locked, and there were two guards outside that door watching as well. And here it is by the prayers of the church knocking on heaven's door. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a light and shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side, woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. In verse 10, and when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when he realized, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So they were knocking on the door of prayer. Save Peter, Lord. Save Peter. Save him, Lord. And God opened the door, literally. He opened the prison door. Did he pass through them? We don't know. But he went right. The chains fell off him. The two guards next to him, they didn't see anything. They go out the front door. Then all of a sudden there's a gate that leads to the city, and the gate opens up automatically. And then Peter goes to the house where they're all praying. He knocks on the door. This young lady opens the door. Her name is Rhoda. And he's knocking. She says, who? It's Peter. She runs to the people who are praying and saying, Peter's at the door. And they're saying, no, it must be his angel. So there you have a lot of faith, right? They're praying. And then when it happens, it must be his angel. So he's knocking again. So finally, she opens the door and he comes in. So though Peter was sleeping and the church was knocking, and God opened the door. Here they are praying and Peter's still knocking, and they finally opened the door and they let him in. But here's the picture here. If you need a door opened, seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Now, I'm going to get to the point of also understanding that prayer for us, especially at this time, prayer is a weapon in this warfare that we're in. It's not an option. And I'll tell you what, you know, most of us, I know myself, I don't pray in depth unless I'm forced to grow. Because, you know, you have your routine, you have your time of prayer, you have your amount of time you pray, and that's how we live our lives. We live it orderly, and it's in the Lord's will. But there comes times when hard things come into our life, and we pray more often. And that's the way the Lord grows us. There's nothing wrong with that. I wish it didn't happen that way, but that's how it happens. If a child is growing physically, it's usually they got growing pains. They feel, oh, why is my bones hurt? They're growing pains. And many times it's the same way with the spiritual. God allows certain things to grow us more in depth. So prayer is important in the warfare of God for an open door. Listen to this, Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer, petition, pray. Remember, he says, put on the armor of God. Because we fight not against flesh and blood. You're fighting against demons in heavenly places. Yes, we are. Even in this nation, you're praying. You're praying against some spiritual stuff that's happening. It's not just natural, trust me. It's prayer that needs to be discerning here. And you got power. You got power in prayer. So with all prayer, petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, here he goes again, be on the alert. With all perseverance and petition for who? For the church. For your brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Be on the alert. Yeah, you know, I didn't see JoJo here yesterday or Momo last week or who knows who. But you pray for that person. Be on the alert. Just don't, you know, well, I got there. That's all that matters. No, he made us a body. We need to pray for one another. You need prayer. I need prayer. Be on the alert with all perseverance, petition for all the saints. And here it goes. And pray on my behalf. That utterance may be given to me for the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I get an opportunity. Now he's in prison writing these epistles. And he's saying, give me an opportunity. Pray for me that God gives me an opportunity amongst whoever he's with. And that is so important for ministry. Wherever you are, wherever I am, whatever calling God has on your life, protect it with prayer. Prayer is not a non-essential. Prayer is a blessing and a protection that we all need to grow in. Even for your own Christian walk, as Jesus said, pray this way, lead us not into temptation, our Father. A dependency for the Lord. Prayer. Now, so back to Matthew chapter 7, 9 and 10, he says this, or what man is there among you who when his son asks for a loaf will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he's not going to give him a snake, will he? And if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, there is the relationship, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give what is good to his children? So prayer, I want to say now, according to his will. As a good father, or you being evil, give your sons and daughters good gifts, he says, if they ask for a loaf of bread, you're going to give it to them. But if they ask for a razor blade, you're not going to give them a razor blade, even though that child may insist, no, I want to do what you do, Daddy, you shave, I want to do that too. You're not going to give it to him, because you know it's not good for him. And it's the same thing praying according to his will. There are certain things that we might pray for, and Lord, why isn't it happening? Why aren't I getting it now? It's because he knows in advance that it's going to hurt you more than it's going to bless you. You know, there are three types of prayer that get answered. There is the definite. There is the different and there is the delayed prayer. The definite is yes or no. Lord, is this according to your will? Definitely yes. Paul prayed that the thorn would be removed from his flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Lord said definitely no. And it was different. He said, because in your weakness, my strength will be perfected. So it was different. He prayed for one thing and God said no, but he showed him that this is the reason. It's different. It's going to make you better. It's going to make you stronger. You're going to experience my spirit in your weakness, and that's going to bless you more than anything else. And then there's also the prayer of being delayed. God has a timing. You know, even for Christ coming back, it was at the perfect time, according to Galatians, that Christ came back. It wasn't before, it wasn't after. He's got a perfect timing for us when we pray. Now, let me give you an example of a delayed prayer that was delayed because it wasn't according to his will. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6 and 8, the person is called Hannah. And God wanted a Samuel to be born, a prophet. So it tells us that every year, in verse 6 through 8, it says that Hannah would go to Jerusalem with her husband Elkanah, and she would weep and cry, Lord, I haven't had a child. I want a child. Every year she prayed for a child. But it says that the Lord closed her womb in verse 6. He closed her womb. He didn't allow her to have a child. And she prayed. And she prayed. I could recall even in his church, different men and women praying for children. And it was delayed. It was delayed. It was delayed. But they persevered. And it wasn't like, okay, you persevered enough. I guess I'm going to give you a child. No. God has a timing for that person to be born. So he closed her womb. And then in verse 11, now this is years going on. She would go to Jerusalem to pray once a year with her husband. They were required to go to Jerusalem. And it says now, at this time, she prayed in verse 11. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall not come upon his head. Verse 19. And then they arose, her and her husband, early in the morning, and they worshipped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah, which was her husband, had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son and she named him Samuel because I have asked of him of the Lord. And you know the story. She kept the child until he was weaned and then she gave this child to Eli who was the high priest and he was brought up as little Samuel, who would now be the famous Samuel who spoke to David, the prophet. He was a judge. He was a priest. Amazing. But here's the key. This is important. It wasn't until she gave it up. She said, Lord, I give it up to you. This need, this person that I want, it's yours. Once you give it to me, it's yours. And I believe many times in our own lives, God waits for us to give it to him and saying, Lord, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, and it's not happening. And the Lord saying, well, I want you to give it to me. I want you to say, Lord, it's yours. Lord, I want to be on a worship team. I want to sing. I want to play for you. You've blessed me. You've blessed me. And it's not being answered. Could it be that the Lord is saying, but Lord, the person will say, it's yours, Lord. It's yours, Lord. It's not about me. It's not about me having a child. It's about you having your will in my life. And if you give me a child, it's yours, Lord. And so a person prays, Lord, I want to worship. I want to be on worship. And then finally say, Lord, but whatever. It's about you, Lord. It's not about me getting up there and playing or singing. And then the Lord gives it to you. It's amazing how that works. I'm not saying that's how it always works. But many times he wants to be first in our life, and we've got this prayer that would replace him. Can I get an amen? I recall, you know, and this has nothing to do with you being a super Christian, and this is not the only way. God answers prayer many times, boom, 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 and it's not conditional. But in this case, God wanted someone special, and she had to get in alignment with his will, and her prayer had to be in alignment with his will, and his will was that she would give her son to be that prophet, little Samuel, and he grew up. Think how hard that might have been, right? You know, after she weaned him, she would bring him to this place where he was raised as an apprentice under the guidance of Eli. And you know, he did some great things. And he had a dream or a vision from the Lord. And the Lord said, listen, tell Eli and his sons, they're done. I'm going to remove them from their job. And it was just a training of Samuel. But for me and you, sometimes the Lord says delayed because I want you to trust me and give it to me. And other times it's a definite yes, here it is, or it's a definite no. And sometimes it's different. Yeah, Lord, I want patience, and you're stuck in traffic for 10 days. You know, it's not how I wanted it, Lord, but yet he's doing it that way. So keep that in mind as you pray, but prayer is the key. Now, how about prayer because you're asking? And that's important because it tells us in James 14, if anyone is among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil or her in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith. If you had the faith of a mustard, faith is important. I can't explain how that happens, but I do know for in the spirit, we're praying in alignment with God's prayer, and you just have that confidence that this is faith, this is happening, and you just know that the Lord is in that prayer. So it says, offer it in faith, and he'll restore the one who's sick. Now, therefore, listen to the connection. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed, and the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So many times, or I can't say many times, but in this case, he was connecting the sickness as discipline in that person's life, and he was connecting it to confess your sins one to another. Confession of sin is very important. And he says it to one another. Why would he say that? He doesn't say go to a priest and have your sins absolved. But he's keeping the community of the church, because your sin is affecting the church just as much as your holy walk with the Lord is affecting the church. So he wants to show that go to someone who is spiritual and confess your sin to that person. Say, Lord, you know, hey, brother, sister, you know, man, I've been mean. I've been having a hard time with this particular mouth of mine, or I've been having a hard time with this. You know, pray for me. And that is a humbling, but it's also the community that God wants within his church. It's a body. That's why he says, just don't confess it to the Lord. But maybe you need to confess it to people too, or to a person, and have that person pray for you. But it's in faith. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because it's the wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your pleasure. So the first thing is, why don't I have? Well, God knows. I don't need to ask. He knows what I need. Aha. Uh-huh. There's a mystery here. Yes, he'll supply. It's kind of like, you know, a son or a daughter living at home. You don't have to pray and ask your father, hey, Dad, feed me today. Please feed me. I need food. That's a given. But you want a bicycle. Father, you know, I want that bicycle. Now, if you don't ask, what's he supposed to read your mind? Is he supposed to know everything? So you see, there's a communication of a relationship with the Father that it's based on. Father, You have not, because you ask me not, son. You take it upon yourself. You don't ask me. You just think that I'm going to do it because, you know, I'm your father. There are certain things he will do. But there are other things that won't happen unless you ask. You have not because you ask not. And then he says, and now you're asking for with the wrong motives. So to pray according to his will is mighty generous. It's not like, well, let me walk on ice and see, is this his will? Is this not his will? And you get all wrapped up into that. No, he is more giving than you could imagine. He's your father, and he loves you. And he's not going to hold back unless it's going to hurt you. But we're learning how to ask. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence you have before God, before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, anything according to his will, he hears it. And if we know that he hears it, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked of him. So when it's according to his will, you can say, Lord, I believe this. Now, I don't know how this all works, but I can tell you just from an example in my own life, just something very simple. By the grace of God, I've been married 30 years, thereabouts. I think 30, yeah. Thereabouts, 91, okay? Now, whatever. I was single till I was like 36, 37, something like that. Following the Lord when I was 21, thereabouts. And it wasn't until maybe I was 30, and I thought, hey, you know what? Gee, I think I need to get married, Lord. You know, it'd be nice. And I think that's a good gift because God made man and woman to be companions. I believe that. I didn't believe I had the gift of celibacy. I just said, well, I don't think I'm going to be celibate. However, I'm not going to choose a wife outside of you. I'm not going to make this happen. You're going to have to do it. And in the meantime, I'm just going to be content. I'm going to learn how to walk in the fullness of being who I am in Christ. Not thinking I'm a half a Christian because I don't have a bride on my arm or you don't have a husband on your arm. That's not true. You know, you are fulfilling the goodness of Lord in your life when you're single. You just have to do that. And at times, you know, you would eat alone. I would eat alone. I'd go to a restaurant. Oh, you don't want to go to a restaurant alone. What are people going to think? Look at that poor soul over there eating by himself. But I didn't care. You know, well, watch me eat if you're looking at me. You know, I'd slap it up. You know, you have to take the authority that you're not a third wheel. You know, went to the movie. I'd go to the, where do you go to the movie? You don't have someone to go to the movie with or share popcorn. I don't care. You know, I'd laugh out loud. You know, if you know, whatever it may be, because I just didn't want to say I'm incomplete and I cannot enjoy my Christian life if I'm single. I can. And Lord, but you know I'm not going to jump ship. And just make it happen and think I'm going to be more fulfilled in that marriage because you won't be. A person doesn't fulfill you. It's the Lord that fulfills you. And that comes with the surrendering, saying, God, you know, I'm yours. Now, he's not a hard God. And it came about after I was 30 or so, you know, and I know some are made to be single, but I didn't believe I was. And, okay, so he in time, he brought me the wife, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle being single. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. You know, when you're young, especially as a young man, you know, your hormones are off the charts, you know, and women, you know, wow, this is what man weakness is. Many a man falls for a woman in a bikini. And then, you know, what happens after that? Well, you know, the bikini, she doesn't walk in the house with a bikini all day. You know, she's a person, and you got to make sure you're not being moved by the bikini or the looks, but rather by who the person is. Amen, right? So a godly man or a godly woman is what's going to make it last all those years, but he's got a timing for that. And I'm not underestimating the struggles that I had at times, but I wasn't going to give in. I just trusted him, and he said he would, and he did. And I want to encourage you, single men, single ladies, you know, it's great to be around a family when you, you know, invite yourself to a family, you know, so you can just eat with them and whatever it may be. Or, you know, go out with your single friends or even by yourself, whatever it may be. It's very important to know that God is with you, and you just don't have to wait until you do get married. But it's his timing, and it's according to his will. And it may be a definite one way or the other, but it may be different, but it may also be delayed. So we're coming to a close here. Now, the particulars of prayer, that's the title. And we're to confess our sins to one another and to pray in faith and have the church community pray for you or one person, whoever it may be. And then in Psalm 66:18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord is not going to hear it. But certainly God has heard, and he has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness. So if I regard wickedness in my heart, there's a condition here. Now, he's not saying here, you all got to be perfect. Yeah, sinless. Then I'm going to hear you pray. He's not saying that. But he's allowing us to understand, too, that, you know, it's like you going to your father. And let's just say you were out there doing all kinds of weird stuff as a young boy. And you lied to your parents. And, you know, and you were doing something bad. And now all of a sudden, you know, you come home and, Daddy, can I have that ice cream you promised me? And Daddy says, well, do you think it's okay to give you ice cream after you did this, that, and the other thing? You see? But now if that little boy or little girl said, Daddy, I did wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, son, come on. Let's get that ice cream. I think that's all a parent wants to hear, is that a person owns up and takes responsibility. Not, I got to punish you now. I think for them to come to the light and share that is punishing enough. And I believe that's how it is with God our Father too. You know, if I got wickedness in my heart and I expect that he's going to answer every prayer, I don't think so. But if I come to him and confess it and say, Daddy, you know, I blew it, man. You know, I know I blew it and I guess I don't deserve it, but that's your call, Lord. And he is so generous. He'll give you that ice cream. I believe he does. Now, one more and we're going close. Equal honor. Why does God not hear some of the prayers of wives and husbands? Again, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone who is weaker. Again, people misconstrued that. Not weaker spiritually, but weaker physically. Women are different than men. Case closed. So understand that she's not like you. She's not going to keep up with you in a lot of physical things. She's not going to, you know, run with you if you're doing this or that or picking up things. So understand she's different as a woman. Since she is a woman, and show honor as a fellow heir of grace of life. Why? So that your prayers will not be hindered. So if I'm mistreating my wife, be careful, because maybe that's why God doesn't hear your prayers. But on the other hand, the shoe goes on the other foot. If a woman is dishonoring her husband, maybe that could be used too. That's the same principle. But in this case, it was with the men, because back then, the men were more chauvinistic. The men were more, they ruled, and women were treated as, you know, property just about. But we've come pretty far. You know, as the saying goes, you've come a long way, baby. And, you know, women now have equal rights, and I'm all for that. But in God's kingdom, whether a woman is more spiritual than the man or the man is more spiritual, they both have to have respect and honor that it's all equal at the cross. They're both heirs. They're both children of God. They're both brothers and sisters. Sometimes I joke with Esther once in a while. I say, yeah, I get it, sis. And she says, sis? She says, all right, bro. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, she is really my sister, and I really am her brother. Because in God's eyes, we're both the same. So that's one reason why a person's prayers is not answered, because of wickedness in their heart or because they're not treating their spouse equality with being a true heir, a child of God. Last but not least, the particulars of prayer and discipline. Listen to this, and we'll close. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went away to a secluded place, and he was praying there. Every morning, he went to a secluded place to pray. Discipline is part of prayer. Mark 6:46. After bidding them farewell, his apostles, he left for the mountain to pray. And when you read the scriptures, all throughout the scriptures, Jesus was always disciplining himself to get away and to pray. And I encourage us as a church, exercise that truth. Discipline yourself to make time for the Lord to pray, to get your heart there, to ask, Lord, help me. I'm feeling so empty today. Lord, I had a hard night. I didn't sleep. Lord, I'm going to work, and I've got to face all of these issues. Help me, Lord, and give me a word. And you open the scriptures, and God might give you a scripture verse that will just give you spiritual strength. Prayer is what God has given us. Use it. So we're going to close, come to an end. And I pray and hope and trust that in what I said, though I said so much, just go online and hear the tape again and see the antics again and say, Lord, I didn't get what he said about, and absorb it. And then start learning and growing, especially today, more than ever before. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word, grateful for the teaching that you give us on prayer, to ask, seek, and knock, to be continuously ask, seek, and knock, not to get cold towards it, but keep knocking, because you're a good father, you're a good judge, and you'll hear our prayers. Lord, continue to remind us that sometimes our prayers are delayed, or sometimes they're different, or sometimes it's a definite. But Lord, help us to pray according to your will. And Lord, it's not for us, though it's hard to differentiate sometimes. Sometimes it's not wrong to pray for yourself. It's not wrong to pray for a parking spot if you need a parking spot. It's not selfish. But then there's other times, Lord, that maybe we're putting something ahead of you, and that will take the place of you, and you want us to put it on the altar first, and then the doors open wide. Help us, remind us to pray for those open doors in ministry, for we're fighting a spiritual warfare here, and to be alert for our brothers and sisters that you don't see all the time, and pray for them, and pray without ceasing wherever you go at different times. In everything, give thanks, Romans 8:28, and rejoice always, especially understanding that the Lord is near. He's coming back. Rejoice in that. And then keep in mind, too, to pray. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, prayer, supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the God of peace will guard your heart. You don't have to figure it out. Just surrender it to him in prayer. No, God, you heard my prayer, and I'm letting it go. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I trust you, and the peace of God will come upon you. And when you lose the peace, that means you took it back. So give it back again to him. Lord, in conclusion, we know, God, there are certain prayers that you don't listen to because you want us to get right. Quicken us in our spirits if we need to confess to one another, or if we need to show honor to our spouses, or Lord, if it's just something that you're working in us to pray even more.